Well, this has been a fun morning so far. More to come. So my name's John. I am the pastor here. If I have not formally met you before, again, thanks for being here. Welcome. We are in a series here where we are doing two things in this series. We are walking through the biblical book of Colossians. Can everybody hear me okay in the back? Can you guys hear me okay in the back? It's good? Okay. We have a new speaker as well. So there's a lot of new things going on. We are going through the book of Colossians. We're kind of working through line by line. And also we are talking about some of the values, some of the things we value as a church. And so that's where we're at. We're going to be in Colossians 4 this morning. Now, there was a book that I came across in the bookstore a couple years ago, with a really, really catchy title. You know those books that, you're in Barnes & Noble and you're scanning the shelves and it just like pops out at you. Well, this is what happened to me. And now I never actually read this book. And, I'm going to mention the name of it. And I realized sometimes I allude to books that I've never actually read, which can be a really dangerous thing. And also is kind of the very definition of judging a book by its cover. But anyway, I saw this book in the bookstore, and as an aspiring pastor at the time, it caught my eye because the name of the book was The Christian Atheist. The Christian Atheist, which to me like sounded quite a bit like an oxymoron, right? But the subtitle, get this, helped me understand what the book I think was all about. So it's called The Christian Atheist, and the subtitle was believing in God, but living as if he doesn't exist. Believing in God, but living as if he doesn't exist. Now, sadly, I think that this all too often defines our Christian experience. Like, sure, we might go to church on Sunday morning. Maybe we have some Christian friends. We belong to a Christian community. But really, let me ask you the question this morning. How does your faith in God really bleed into your daily life in this world? Even if you claim to believe in God, to follow Jesus, are you living your day-to-day life as if he doesn't even exist? Because if you are, then maybe, might I suggest, you might be a Christian atheist. Now, I think where the rubber really hits the road, okay, where this becomes really evident in our lives is in our prayer life, or rather, in our prayerlessness. Prayerlessness is kind of like the tendency we have sometimes to go throughout the day, to go throughout the week even, without even acknowledging God's existence and his sovereignty over our lives and asking for his help. So a study from Barna Research Group, which is a very popular Christian research company, very reputable, a study from Barna found that most Christians, on average, pray 1 minute or less per day. Right? Pastors, they found, on average, pray 5 minutes or less per day. And so I got you guys really, really beat here, okay? there are many reasons you might cite for your prayerlessness. Maybe you've thought of these before. Many people cite distraction as a big reason. When I sit down to pray, I just get distracted by other things I have to do. Or busyness, right? I'm too busy to pray. Another pastor wrote another book that I have never read called I'm Too Busy Not to Pray, which sounds like a great book. But the truth is, guys, we are not too busy. Okay, one of my favorite quotes from Pastor John Piper, it's a scathing quote. He says, one of the great uses of social media will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from a lack of time. Right? I just got, every Sunday I get my screen report. I just got it. I'm sorry, I looked at my phone in church. And it was like, man, I'm spending that much on the screen every single day. Listen, I would venture to say, though, that, one of the reasons why we oftentimes don't pray is because we believe the lie of the enemy, which says that we are self-sufficient. We are independent, and we don't need any help from the outside on the average day, not even from God. Right? Prayer for us is oftentimes more like a spare tire than it is our steering wheel. Like when something goes wrong, you just pull prayer out of the trunk, You throw up a cry for help, but then when all is put right again, just goes right back in, only to be removed when something goes wrong again, because we are, man, we are independent people. We are Americans. We are individualists, right? It all goes back to our individualism. We are conditioned to rely on ourselves, to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, not to be dependent on anyone for anything, right? Right? Have a question, you want to figure something out, what do? You don't ask somebody, you Google it. You figure it out on your own, right? Have an ailment, is there something wrong in your body? My wife does this all the time. Let's not ask a doctor. Let's go on WebMD or something like that, right? Right, are you lost on vacation? You're lost, you don't know where to go, especially guys. Never in a million years would you ask somebody. You pull out Google Maps or something like that, right? Well, prayerlessness is really, it is our declaration of independence from God. Here's the thing, though. Okay, here's the thing you need to know about Christianity. Is that the starting point for becoming a Christian, guys, is realizing that you are not independent. You are not your own Savior. Right? Right? Becoming a Christian is realizing that you must be dependent on God. See, July 4th, 1776 is known as Independence Day. It is when America gained its freedom. Well, the day when you become a Christian, maybe for some of you that's today, or maybe that was years ago, the day when you become a Christian might as well be called Dependence Day. It is when you let go of your independence and you get a revelation of your dependence on God for everything. So the truth is, right, Jesus says we are helpless, guys, in more ways than we think or would ever want to admit. You know, that's why in the Bible, have you ever read those or read those phrases in the Bible where Jesus talks about how it's hard for rich people to enter into the kingdom of God, right? Do you know what Jesus means by that? Do you know why it's hard oftentimes for rich people? Which by the way, is pretty much all of us in this room. I know rich, you know, you think of that person with like a Porsche or something like that, and you're like, well, I'm not rich. In terms of the wealth in the world, guys, we are like top couple percent, okay? I don't know the stats, I haven't looked it up, but guys, when the Bible talks about the rich in this world, it's talking about us, okay? And the rich in this world are so used to depending on themselves, to earning and deserving everything they have. And they are convinced, we are convinced sometimes that we are our own saviors. But the core message of our faith is that you are unable to be accepted by God on your own merit, right? Based on your own performance, however good you may be, even if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And so what we need to do is not try harder, as our culture oftentimes tells us to do. We need to be broken and surrender to our inability and receive the grace offered to us from Jesus Christ to be forgiven and accepted by God especially. And prayer, okay, prayer really is the way we acknowledge our dependence on God. Prayer is the way we acknowledge that we need to be empowered by God's Spirit for everyday life. And Billy Graham said, a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. See, our prayerlessness oftentimes leads to powerlessness in our faith, in our day-to-day faith, this giant disconnect between believing in God, yes, checking the box, but then living as if he doesn't even exist, living a life devoid of spiritual power and fervor in the everyday moments of life. And so here's the question of the morning, right? How do we close that gap? Right? How do we close the gap between our Christian faith and our daily lives, between our prayerless, powerless living and prayerful, Spirit-empowered lives, as we're going to talk about today? That's the question of the day. Okay, and the value of the day, like I said, we're talking about our values as our church. One of our values is spirit empowerment, which means simply this. It means we want to be empowered by God's Spirit, both collectively as a church and individually in our daily lives. We strive to lead a life dependent on the Holy Spirit, seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so that brings us finally to Colossians chapter 4. Some of you guys are like, when is he going to actually get in the Bible? My intro's done. Okay, guys, we are into Colossians 4. All right? Now the second half of Colossians, let me just give you a little bit of context really quick about Colossians. There's four chapters, and the second half of Colossians, chapters 3 and 4, is really like Paul's let's get practical section of the letter. Okay, I mentioned last week how Paul's letters in the New Testament, so Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, other Pauline epistles, oftentimes followed a typical structure, right? They open up with like a greeting, like I'm Paul writing to you, right? And then I'm praying for you and I'm thankful for you. And then he lays out the gospel. He usually starts by reiterating the gospel of Jesus Christ. He reminds us of our identity as Christians. He reminds us of our acceptance by God and that it's based not on our works, but it's based on what Jesus Christ has done for us. So he usually starts his letters like that, and then he moves from our identity, who we are in Jesus, to our activity, right? How do we live in light of that? So usually like the second half of his letters are, how do we live in light of this new identity we have as Christians? And so in Colossians, he speaks specifically about how we are to live as a new man or a new woman. We talked about some moral commands last week. We talked 2 weeks ago, Garrett shared about how we work, how our faith impacts our work. And today we're going to, you know, get started with, in chapter 4, he talks about some spiritual practices. And so today we're just looking at three verses. Right, Elisa read these for us. I said this is the shortest reading we've ever had. However, like it's really, really powerful because it talks about how to lead a prayerful life dependent on the Holy Spirit. And today what I want to do is just emphasize four things that Paul lays out there about how we can live a Spirit-empowered life. And so look with me. We're gonna fly through Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Okay, and the first step, this is how to be Spirit-empowered. The first step is constant devotion. Constant devotion, right? He says, devote yourselves to prayer, which, like we said earlier, is easier said than done for us sometimes, okay? Am I the only one who struggles with prayer, or maybe there's a couple others? Thank you. Thank you for being honest this morning. Okay, my point in preaching this today is not to shame you for your lack of prayer. It is to lovingly spur you towards a life of prayer and following the Holy Spirit, which starts with being constantly devoted to prayer. And you know, I just reiterate, this is really hard in our day because busyness and hurry. You ask somebody, how are you doing? Busy, really busy, right? Busyness and hurry, guys, it defines our life. But hurry is really the enemy of spirituality in our day. Hurry is the enemy of spirituality in our day. Because for a spiritual life with God, we must pause and be still and turn our attention upwards. You know, the poet Mary Oliver, maybe you've heard of her, she has a quote. She says, attention is the beginning of devotion. Attention is the beginning of devotion. Prayer, guys, it starts there. And what Paul means here when he says devote yourselves to prayer, I don't think he necessarily means the lengthiness of your prayers, like you need to pray for an hour or something like that. If you do, great. But I don't think he necessarily means the lengthiness of our prayers or even the intensity of our prayers, right? Right, sometimes you should be more intense in prayers, but I don't think that's exactly what he's talking about. I think he's talking about the consistency of our prayers. Right, just like in other places in the New Testament, he says, pray without ceasing or pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And that doesn't mean you just pray and draw near to God in the morning and then you kind of turn away and carry on with the rest of your day. Prayer, guys, is actually supposed to bring us to God so we can walk with him for the rest of the day, so we can walk with him throughout our lives. And I would encourage you to think through some times during the day where you can pause and turn your attention towards God, right? It could be a minute. It could be a minute, like checkpoints throughout the day. Maybe it's at the start of your day, and then lunchtime, and then dinner time, and before you go to bed. You just have these checkpoints in your life. You know, this might include setting some alarms. It might be even if you have an Apple Watch. You know, Sundays, I don't wear my Apple Watch, but during the day, during the week, I usually wear an Apple Watch. And Steve Jobs actually helps me pray. Okay, let me tell you how. Now, how is because on my Apple Watch, I don't know if you guys have one, it'll oftentimes like alert me, a mindfulness alert. Okay, and I just read that, you know, several times during the day, it'll say mindfulness, you know, kind of pause. And I just read that as prayerfulness. You know, Steve Jobs and Apple, they're just helping me pray. When I see that, just stop and pause and breathe and look up and be prayerful, bring my attention to God. Okay, that's the first step, guys, towards being empowered by the Holy Spirit in our lives, is to be constantly devoted to prayer. All right, the second is like it, and the second is that we are to stay alert, Paul says, with thanksgiving. We are to have grateful awareness throughout our day of how God is working in us and around us. We are to have grateful awareness. Right, and this, I think, is twofold. I think, first off, it's a subtle reminder from Paul that as Christians, guys, we don't have to pray, we get to pray. Okay? Right, the Father has his arms wide open to us. Right, the King of the universe has his arms extended to us and welcomes us to come boldly to the throne room of grace in our time of need. And friends, this is in spite of us. Right, this opportunity comes to us solely by grace through the work of Jesus Christ that allows us to come and address the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as our Father. Like, what a privilege we have here. Right, that's why Paul says, I think, to be thankful when you go to pray. Right, we are to remain gratefully aware of how God is working, because God is always working in you and around you. And the problem oftentimes is that we're not aware of it. Right, this week as I was thinking on these words, stay alert, that Paul writes here, I couldn't help but think of the disciples on the night that Jesus was betrayed and arrested. You guys remember this story. So Jesus, you know, Thursday night this is, and Jesus has the Last Supper with his disciples, and he leads them out of the upper room into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he knew that Judas would be leading soldiers to come and arrest him just a few short hours later. And so they arrive, and Jesus, he says to his disciples, he says, spread out and watch and pray with me. Okay, you remember the story. And Jesus, he finds a secret place to pray, and he prays an intense prayer. He knows what's about to happen to him, right? He knows that Judas is bringing enemies to arrest him and then to crucify him. And Luke, right, it's only in Luke's gospel, Luke records, who was a medical doctor as well as the author of the Gospel of Luke, he says that Jesus was so physically and mentally stressed that he sweat drops of blood, a medical condition known as like hematohidrosis. Probably didn't say that right. Hematohidrosis, okay? Luke records this. Jesus sweat drops of blood. He's in intense prayer. So Jesus returns and he gathers up his disciples and he finds, what are they doing? They're sleeping. They are all asleep. And Jesus says, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Right? What a stark contrast, right? Of Jesus about to be arrested and go to war with the powers of darkness on the cross. And then you have the disciples yawning and ignorant of the enemy who is at work around them. Stay alert. Right? This is a military term Paul uses here. It's like a soldier who's on the night watch, who's supposed to stay up and watch for the enemy, and his soldiers' lives are on the line for him to stay alert and to keep watch. Guys, this highlights really a big difference between having a peacetime mentality and a wartime mentality in life. And Paul says here, and elsewhere, guys, Paul says we are at war in this world. As Christians, we are not yet members of a heavenly country club. Okay, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And the Bible is clear. We have a real enemy who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right? The devil's intent for your life, for your family's life, guys, is to steal and kill and destroy. And that is why prayer is so important. One more really, really great John Piper quote for today. He says this. He says, until you know that life is war, you cannot know what prayer is for. Until you realize that this life is war, you will not understand fully what prayer is for. Because this life is a war. Raising a family in this world is a war. And guys, we don't, you know, don't get me wrong. We don't fight against people. Okay? We don't fight against people who maybe even think differently than you or behave differently than you or vote differently than you. That is not our enemy. Our enemy, Paul says in Romans 15, we wrestle not, he says, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And how we fight is through prayer. So pray. Pray in the Spirit. That is how we stay alert, how we have a grateful awareness of what the Lord is doing around us and how God is leading us in this world. Which leads to the third step, really, for living a Spirit-empowered life, and that is watching for divine opportunities. Right? This is number three. We had what was the first one? It's constant devotion, and then grateful awareness, and then watching for divine opportunities. Paul calls these in Colossians 4, verse 3, he calls these open doors. Right? And that is really one of Paul's favorite expressions in the New Testament, because his life as a Christian was extremely dependent on where God might be opening up a door for him to go next. Right? If you ever read the book of Acts, it's fascinating. It follows Paul's missionary journeys. And I love what it says. Listen to this verse in Acts 20, 22. He says, "And now I'm on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there." Like, man, this is a crazy way to live. But Paul had this certain uncertainty that God was opening up a door for him to walk through. And oftentimes, he had no clue what was on the other side of it. Right? But that is often, guys, that is often how the Holy Spirit leads us. He presents us with an open door, but he doesn't really show us what's on the other side of it. Right? Right? That's what it's called living by faith. Following him and trusting him. It's following where the Holy Spirit may be leading and opening up a door, even if you don't know what's on the other side of it all. It's trusting him. Now, for me, right, as a type A planner, who I actually like have an itinerary for my off days, right? Shay hates this. As a type A planner, right, this kind of living, this sounds reckless to me. Right? This sounds a lot more like something that my in-laws would do. Let me just tell you a story about my in-laws, okay? My mother-in-law is not in here. I think she's with the kids, but my father-in-law is, and I'll just call him out. So my wife, you know, my wife tells me this story. When she first told me the story, I couldn't believe it. But, you know, when her family, and ask him, he will verify this, when her family moved to Florida, and I'm so glad they did, because otherwise I would not have met Shay, you know, best thing that ever happened other than trusting in Jesus, right? But here's what happened. They were living in Tennessee, and they sold their house in Tennessee, and they packed up all of their things, and they got in the car, and they just started driving. Right? They knew that they wanted to be in Florida, but they had absolutely no plans. They had no house. They had no jobs. They had three young kids, and they packed up, and they drove down, and eventually they got to this little town called Oldsmar, Florida, and they said, well, this feels really nice. Maybe we'll just stay here. And so they got a hotel, right? And then the next week, I think, you know, maybe you got jobs. How long was it? You guys got jobs, and then rented a place, and then bought a house in Oldsmar, and man, like, the rest is history. I'm so glad they did, because otherwise I would not have met their daughter and brought some much-needed structure to their lives. That's what I, you know, that's what I do. Right? But that's how they operate. That's not how I operate. Seriously, though, that is oftentimes, though, how the Spirit of God works in our lives. He doesn't give you a blueprint, right? He doesn't give you all of the steps. He just shows you the next one. He cracks open a door, and then he whispers for you to walk through it. So here's the question that I want to get to, especially on this point, is, are you looking for divine opportunities in your life? Are you looking, are you aware of how the Lord may be opening up doors for you at work, in life? Are you watching for open doors with people, open doors relationally? Because Paul, for You know, when he says open doors, oftentimes those open doors were people who welcomed him and led him a certain way. Specifically, open doors really for Paul meant opportunities to share the gospel, to tell people about the mystery of Christ, he says here, which in Colossians is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, Paul was so intent on sharing with everyone how they could find a relationship with their Creator, where they can find love and forgiveness and purpose and identity in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It was hidden for ages, how to be reconciled with God, but it was revealed in Jesus Christ. And guys, we should, like Paul, we should be praying for open doors, yes, in all areas of our lives, but also we are to be in constant prayer for open doors to share the gospel with people around us so that they can be saved. You know, real quick, and I'll just move on in a second, but corporately, as a church, we've been praying this specific prayer, Colossians 4:3, since long before this church was ever started. You know, we used to take prayer walks in the community. Some of you guys came on those, and I would give out a prayer sheet with Colossians 4:3 and say, pray for the Lord to open up a door for us, like the church at Channelside, in the Channelside community. And oftentimes that has looked like the Tampa Bay History Center or Embassy Suites or Industrious, where we have prayer and Bible studies. Many of you guys joined us. Over 30 people came to Bible study this past Wednesday. It's awesome. The Lord is opening up doors for us in the area. And so I don't want to skip over just saying, hey, be in constant prayer for the Lord to continue to open up doors for our church in the Channelside community, and even believe that one day he may even give us a key to that door. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great. Only God can build his church. Only the Holy Spirit can open up doors, and that's what we are so dependent on. Because when these open doors in our lives, guys, present themselves, you must then do the fourth and final thing that Paul mentions in verse 4, where he asks them that he would have the courage to obey the Lord. And this is faithful obedience. Paul says, pray for me that I would have faithful obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? Right? Verse 4, he says, pray for me that I may make it known as I should. Faithful obedience. See, once the door is open in your lives, when divine opportunities come, you know, just like for Paul, he asked for prayer that he would faithfully obey and declare the gospel message. Right. Sometimes doors open, even with other people, an open door comes to share the good news of the gospel with somebody, and we fight this tension of like, well, is God opening a door, or am I just trying to break down a door by going and sharing with them? And I'll just tell you, if the Lord is ever leading you to share the gospel with somebody, that's not Satan leading you, okay? That is the Lord, all right? So follow the Lord there, right? Oftentimes, especially in that situation, other situations in our lives, we get just paralyzed by indecision, going, man, is that from God? Is that a divine opportunity in my life, or is that something else? And Paul says here, pray for obedience, pray for courage, because opportunities in our lives, guys, they must be seized. And really, divine opportunity and faithful obedience, those two things are really like two sides of the same coin. Pray not only for opportunities to follow the Holy Spirit's leading, but the courage to obey. You can say, God, grant me the wisdom to know what to do, where to follow you, and give me the courage to act, to faithfully obey. All right, that's the message today, okay? If you fell asleep, you definitely missed the story, and you basically violated everything I just said in this message anyway. However, if you fell asleep, just tune back in for just 30 seconds, okay? I want to give you guys like the bottom line. This is what the message is all about, okay? It's actually on page 7 of your worship guide, okay? This is basically my message, all right? Some of you guys are like, well, why don't you just give us that and shut up? Why'd you talk for the last 30 minutes? Anyways, this is what Paul says. This is how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, God, or guys. First off, remain in constant devotion. Live in grateful awareness. Look for divine opportunities and then walk in faithful obedience. Now, let me just close with this thought. Okay, maybe it's a thought that some of you guys have had the entire service, which is like, shouldn't he be sharing like a special message for Mother's Day or something like that? 5 steps to being a faithful parent or something like that. You know, wouldn't that be great if I shared that? And guys, I'm about to find out in less than 2 months that I know nothing about parenting. My wife's 7 months pregnant, just so you know. I think this is actually the best Mother's Day message that I can possibly share, which is a message on following the Holy Spirit's leading in your life and living a Spirit-empowered life. Because if there's anything I know, okay, moms and parents, and that is the very best thing you can do for your kids when it comes to modeling and teaching them about your faith. Because things are way better caught than taught, especially with kids, so I heard, right? Right? Kids do what you do, not what you say. And I know for me, like the greatest thing in my life that my parents ever did for me was not just tell me about their faith, it was watching as they followed the Holy Spirit's leading in their life. It was looking over every morning and seeing my mom on her corner of the couch with a coffee in one hand and a Bible in the other and just mumbling words, praying to the Lord before I went to school every morning. Right? It was, you know, for example, let me just tell you a really, really cool story and then I'll be done about how I watched the Holy Spirit lead my family to move from New Jersey to Florida when I was 13 years old. It was so transformative for me. So long before we ever moved, we were living in New Jersey, long before we ever moved to Florida, my parents had this like weird impression, you know, weird so I thought, but they had this impression from the Holy Spirit that one day they would be moving to Florida for my dad to become a pastor at a church down here. Now, they had no friends or family in Florida. My dad had never been a pastor. My dad worked in sales. He was very, very successful at that. But he just had this feeling that one day, like the Lord placed a seed in his heart, that he would open up a door for our family to move down to Florida for him to become a pastor. And my parents, I remember this, they would tape pictures of like locations in Florida to the fridge. This was decades before we ever moved. You know, one time I actually called my dad this story or called my dad this week just to verify this story. When my dad was in his 20s and he was living in New Jersey, my family, you know, and my aunt, so my dad's sister, actually attended a Christian conference and she returned from the conference. My dad asked her, he said, you know, what did the Lord say to you at this conference? And she responded in tears and said, the Lord told me to get close to my family because they'd be moving to Florida. Right, she knew nothing about what my parents had felt. And it wouldn't be until nearly 20 years later that the Spirit would open up a door and we would follow his leading here. How it came about was through the pastor of our church up in New Jersey. He randomly decided to open up a church 1,500 miles away in Fort Myers, Florida. My dad was an elder in this church, volunteered as a leader in this church, and the pastor of the church, he was considering who to become the pastor of this new church. He just had in mind, let me ask John. My dad's name is John as well, and see what he thinks. So he approached my dad and said, hey, would you consider maybe moving down? I know it's a big ask, and pastoring a church in Fort Myers, Florida. And my dad said to him, he said, I don't need to pray about it. I don't need to think about it. I've been praying about it for 20 years. This is what the Lord's calling me to do. And so I watched as my family followed the Spirit's leading. And my dad still, 20 years later, still pastors that same church in Fort Myers, Florida. Here's what I'm saying. Okay, my parents, and I will be the first to tell you, talk to me after, they are far from perfect, all right? However, they modeled for me how not just to believe in God, but how to live as if he exists and he is leading and he is empowering you every step of the way. That is how not to be a Christian atheist. That is how to live a life in daily dependence on the Holy Spirit of God. Right, and my prayer, especially as it being one of our values, my prayer is that it would define our existence as a church, that we follow the Spirit's leading to the History Center and the Embassy Suites and wherever he wants us to be, but also individually. What it's going to take for our church to be Holy Spirit-led is for us individually to be Holy Spirit-led in our lives. And so pray for our church, for Open Doors and Channelside, and pray that the Lord would lead you in your daily life as well. Now, we're going to close here. And I know I've said that a lot, but we're going to close with a song, okay? And something we started to do last week is actually just to encourage you, if you'd like to take an appropriate step and respond to the service today. Now, for some of you, you may be here, and honestly, you may not be able to follow the Spirit's leading in your life because he doesn't live on the inside of you, because you're not a Christian. Right, and my prayer for you today is that if you don't identify with Christ, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, let today be your dependence day where you give up. And like the song says, let Jesus take the wheel of your life. So during this next song, I'm going to encourage you. We're going to have some leaders in the back corner over there. If you would love to step out and talk to somebody and pray with them maybe about how to surrender your life to Jesus, repent, and become a Christian today, we would love to talk to you and share about that and pray for you about that. So I would encourage you during this next song to be bold and step out. We would love to pray with you. Others here, you may be a Christian, but you may be that like Christian atheist kind of. Like you're living a life devoid of the Spirit's power in your life. And something the Bible and the New Testament tells us to do is to pray repeatedly. Jesus tells us to do this, to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're feeling like powerless in your Christian walk, we would love to pray with you and ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you with His presence today. You could also go to the back. If you need prayer for anything else, you know, I know we don't have the biggest room, but we have an area right in the back corner there. During this next song, you can step out, and we would love to just talk and pray with you. Well, okay, at this time, I'm just going to pray for the service, and then our band's going to come on up here and lead us in a final song. So let's pray. Well, Father, we do just thank you so much for sending Jesus, yes, to save us, to reconcile us with you, to offer us forgiveness and acceptance through the cross. God, it's only because of Christ that we can be made clean and be reconciled with you. Lord, but then when Jesus left, he said, I'm going, but I'm sending one who will walk with you, who will live inside of you. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. So God, thank you for not leaving us on our own, but sending us the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we be more and more aware of your Holy Spirit in our lives, individually and corporately, how you're leading us as a church community, God. And may we lean into all that the Holy Spirit has. Would we be filled with the Holy Spirit of God today, to be empowered to be your witnesses, just as we see in the New Testament, that they were filled to be empowered to be your witnesses in the community, God. Would that be the case for us as well? So, Father, would you fill us? Would your Spirit move even during this next song? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.